بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من سأل الله الشهادة بصدق بلغه الله منازل الشهداء وإن مات على فراشه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام وقال الإمام مالك ابن أنس رحمه الله لا يصلح آخر هذه الأمة إلا بما صلح أولها. The night of the 15th of Shaban is generally understood as a night of istighfar, and it is also known as a night of dua. It is with dua that the shield is placed in front of a believer, and conditions that have been sent, which comes like missiles towards an individual, in the ahadith mention is made that a musibat, a difficulty, a calamity has been directed to a certain individual, but because of the blessings of his dua, it creates a barrier between himself and that difficulty. And it continues engaging with that difficulty until the day of Qiyamah. So if your one dua can create one shield, one barrier, and tonight is a night where one is equal to many more. So tonight is a night where every country at the moment is worried about their own spiritual shield. And they have to say, if the war has to break out, then we have to make sure no one can attack our territory. So they all have their shields. No one can really see that shield, but it's understood that we have, anything tries to break through, immediately something is going to go for it. In their physical world, with whatever they can do to make their shield, we understand also there is a spiritual world. And they also understood the spiritual world. And daily an attack is being launched against the spiritual shield. I need to create minds, you need to create yours. I will give you a few examples, which I was reading a kitab today. Few points struck out, I made note of these points, I will try to mention. What we will try to emphasize on this is, that on this night, where many people will be asking, normally when we think about our dunya. The dunya is the most important, the most beloved. Almighty Allah understood the nature, the fitrat, of man, that is why in Quran it mentioned, if you want to make a dua, and say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا, that, oh Allah, grant me the best of this world. But then he said, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, grant me the best of the year after, save me from the punishment of Jahannam. There was two duas, this was one dua. Although dunya was man's desire, it came first to say, don't worry, be calm, ask for your dunya how much you want. But after dunya, Allah Tabaruk Tala says just before this, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. They are those people who only ask for dunya. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. Says, don't they know they got something to worry about in the year after? Have they no investment there? They got no building there. They got no house there. They got no life there. Worry about our deen. And in the worry of our deen, where Allah Tabaruk Tala made it, that the first jamaat that introduced Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into Medina Munawwara was the jamaat of the Ansar. They were going to be the people who were going to keep Islam or take Islam from a position of weakness. And in their own life, their eyes were going to be cool, some of them. And some were going to be passed away before seeing it. Before seeing the fruit of Islam coming out in the world.
I'm going to give a few examples of this Jamaat of Sahaba. And I'm going to put myself and yourself in that same position. There was in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Badr. Badr was when the small Jama'ah defeated the big Jama'ah. That was the time when Islam was on its uruj, on its heights. The Khulafa'i Rashideen were able to send out small armies. They entered into the Roman territories, Persian territories. They took over the world. There were times when the Ottoman Empire was moving. Small Jama'ats, they took over big lands. When we speak about Turkey today, once upon a time it was the land of the Romans. Small Jama'ats, how they went. Those were the days where the world saw Badr. And then there were also the times where the world had to see Uhud. Uhud was not like Badr. And what we are living in today is an Uhud in itself. After the battle of Badr, the enemy wanted to take revenge. Whenever Islam flourished and they took over the world, the enemy always waited for the time, when can I get back? When the Jews entered into Palestine, the first sentence that man mentioned was that this is the revenge of the Crusades. Now the Crusades happened when? How many hundreds of years ago? You say, what does God to do? You say, revenge. Only revenge they want. He said, Salahuddin. He says, Saladin. We came back. Salahuddin is in Jannah already enjoying. For that man, I got my revenge finally. The whole thing is revenge. A few years ago, the issue came about in the lands of Hijaz. 1,400 years ago, there was Jewish clans living in Medina Munawwara. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Medina Munawwara. He made a pact with them. He said, we will live like brothers. We got no issue with you. You have no issue with us. Fulfill your part of the pact. We will fulfill our part. Am I that Nabi you were waiting for so long? They made their truce, their treaties, their pact. And Jews are Jews. Within a few days already, they worked with the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarrama. That's why the battle of Badr had to take place. During the battle of Badr, the battle of Uhud, Badr was still far, but Uhud was right there on the doorstep of Medina Munawwara. They just wanted the Muslims to be defeated, just wanted. After Badr, after Uhud, after Dhafran, the battle of the trench, slowly all the Jews had to now leave Medina Munawwara. They were told to go. Some of them were killed. Their lands were taken away. 1,400 years ago. It was about 2 years ago or 3 years ago in the news it came up that a court case is now being made against the Muslims of Medina. That they must pay back the Jews because they took their lands. I'm looking at that 1,400 years story you're bringing up. You broke the treaty, but so much their desire is, I'll get back. Because their nature is the nature of Iblis, Shaitan. Iblis was kicked out of Jannah, out of his own Jannah because of his doings. But he would never say, it's my fault. He'll say, I'll make sure I'll take revenge on everyone. If I have to burn, everyone must burn. If I can't get paradise, no one can get paradise. If someone said to him, forget your revenge, just come right yourself. But he can't. They are the same. So the nature of revenge, after Badr it was, we need revenge. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to make mashwara that the enemy were going to attack Medina Munawwara itself, the Markaz. Either we stay in Medina or we go out. Finally the decision was, let us go out. But their own Markaz was being attacked, Medina Munawwara. For years where the world around, we saw the attack on every land around Hijaz. And how Satanism, atheism, filth, dirt penetrated into every land, we saw it. But we always were happy that Medina Munawwara is protected. And in the last 1 or 2 years, certain things have happened where we now seeing the attack being launched on Medina Munawwara itself. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's last wasiyat was, أخرج اليهود والنصارى من جزيرة العرب. Let the Yahud and the Nasara not be in any way in the Arabian Peninsula. Now in Medina Munawwara itself, the news comes that the builders of buildings which are right on the doorstep of Masjidun Nabawi, the main architects of it will be the very people who he said make sure they don't come anywhere near Jaziratul Arab. On the doorsteps, what buildings they want to do right in front of Medina Munawwara, who knows? But it was going to happen. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned many things that are, and we are seeing it. So we living in an Uhud, they have come to the doorstep. In Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes out. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a living. He's a living Nabi, in that we have no doubt. But it's a living Shariat. What I'm going to explain is how those Sahaba, and especially the young ones, Allah Tabarakala selected them to stand up for the protection of this Islam, because they had one thing within them. And on this night, maybe me and you have to ask Almighty Allah, can I also get it and you get it? They had one thing within them, which meant they were not scared to sacrifice for something greater. They were not scared to sacrifice for a greater cause. When they came in Makkah Mukarramah to meet with him, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's uncle said to them, "You want to take my nephew away to your land? As long as he is here, we will protect him. But if you take him and the world launches an attack upon you, will you look after him?" And that answer that they gave is the answer that me and you need to give to our Islam. That more important than my wife and my children, is this what I want to take home? And they lived up to it. They only asked one thing, that for you, O Allah's Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if my family have to go, my wealth has to go, my farms have to go, my life has to go, I will give you all of that, what is there for me? And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave one answer. He said, "Walakumul Jannah," that I promise you paradise is yours. And they said, the deal is done, you come with us. Me and you also have to say today, O Islam, when an attack is being launched on you, you are my Rasul. Risala is a living Risala. When the attack is being launched throughout from every side, then I will have to say that you mean more to me than my own life, my wife, my family, my desires, my eye, my ear, my mouth. You are more important. And I want to take you home. I will be ready to cry, I will be ready to sacrifice, I'll be ready to close my eye when I have to. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands on the plains of Uhud. He is the main target, like how Islam today is the target. It is not a Muslim that's a target, it's Islam. وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا. Allah tabarakala says, they had no problem with the Muslim as a Muslim. Their problem was his Islam. When attack is going to be launched, and it's being launched, and over the next few years, and who knows what days we will have to see, but if our dunya is the only thing that's important to us, not our deen, then perhaps in trying to save dunya, there will be certain people who will be ready to say goodbye to my Islam. Allah save us all, it must not happen to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke everything. He mentioned the details of Dajjal and Dajjaliyat. He spoke about it in a manner that he said no Nabi before me ever discussed. He spoke about difficult times, very difficult times. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who feared nothing, when they heard about this, they got scared. When they heard about this, they got scared. They were worried. They asked, "Oh Allah's Nabi, will it be so powerful?" They heard about a farmer who will see his entire farm disappearing in front of him. He will see his animals having nothing to eat. They heard about that farmer being tested. that if you are ready to give up, your crops will come out again, your animals will become more fat. Are you ready to save your dunya? There will be that one farmer who will say, my farm means more to me than my Islam. There will be one farmer who will say, let the farm be destroyed. But as the Sahaba did not let the Nabi of Allah go, I will not let my Islam go. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood on the plains of Uhud. He was attacked from every side. He makes an announcement, who is ready to be my companion in Jannah? That announcement, Islam makes it every day. And especially today, on this night, where normally the night of Laylatul Qadr is a night which is understood as powerful. But the date and the date of that night is not really known. Then there is that unique minute that moves around every night, but it moves in the last portions of the night. Who is there to look for it and find it? This night is known as the night where from now, Maghrib, until the break of dawn, Subh Sadiq, before the Fajr, this night is powerful throughout. It is a Laylatul Qadr, but a Laylatul Qadr that's known. And the one in Ramadan is not known. These two nights we got from Maghrib right till Subh Sadiq to put up our dua, and it will go with power to the Arsh, the throne of Almighty Allah. When he announced on that day, who is ready to be my companion in Jannah? This announcement is also made now to me and you. That who is ready to say that in the next few years, whatever has to happen, O Allah, but I will put my Islam first, even if everything has to go. I will continue asking for ease. I will ask for afiyah. I will ask for safety. No one likes difficulties. But if a difficult day has to come, and I have to make a decision between my Islam and my dunya, then I will say, Allah, the first jamaat, as they sacrifice their dunya for your Nabi, I being the last jamaat, will also sacrifice my dunya for the deen of your Nabi. I will not sell it now right at the ending. He said, who will be my companion in Jannah? Allah make every one of us that companion. 7 Ansari youngsters stood up immediately. They also had mothers and fathers. They also had children. But they had already made a decision that if I have to sacrifice for something more important, I'm ready to make that sacrifice. Maybe my mother and father will cry, but the tears will dry up within a day or two. But my akhirat cannot be spoiled today. The deen of my Nabi has come to live, and I want to make it live. 7 stood up immediately. I will give you an example of one of them. His name was Ziyad ibn Sakan, radiallahu anhu. He heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ask, may yashri lana nafsa, who is ready to sell himself for us? Who is ready to sell himself for us? May Allah make me and you, we also be ready for this. There will be a time where people will sell themselves for dunya, and there will be those who will sell themselves for akhirah. There will be those who will sell themselves for the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came and he stood in a place where the attack was not supposed to be him. He lived in Medina so many years. The only attack that was launched on him now was, why do you dare come in front of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Move out and we can attack him directly. He was not going to move. Whatever was going to hit him, whether it was a spear or a sword or a punch, blows after blows, knocks after knocks, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam witnessing what the Sahabi is going through. How soft his heart was. Whenever he saw any of his Sahaba in pain, it hurt him. Now seeing his Sahabi dying for him, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a loving Nabi, he said, your actions is also going to be brought to me. He said, your actions is also going to be brought to me. To such an extent, the angel will inform me of the small action of my ummati, so small that today a certain individual finding in the masjid some dirt, that dirt he picked up, he said, the news of that action of my ummati is also going to be brought to me. So the news of that sahabi and the news of that person who will come right at the end. On an occasion he said, how I desire with the meeting of my friends. Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, are we not your friends? He said, yes, but you are my companions. I am speaking about those friends who will not meet me physically. They will come after, but they desire to see me. They desire to be with me. Their thoughts to be with me. They will be unique friends of mine. May Allah make us all among those friends. If he has to hear of the sacrifice of a friend in this era, in the era where he said, to hold on to Islam will be like holding on to burning coal. There was a Ziyad ibn Sakan in the beginning. May Allah make there will be Ziyads at the ending also. The Sahabi stood, he took everything, he falls down. Sahaba radiallahu anhum are told, go and bring him close to me. I want to thank him before he passes away that you gave your life in the protection of your Nabi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, oh my Ziyad, is there any desire that you have? Ours will only be dunya. Theirs was only deen. He said, is there any desire that you have? He said, my desire is that my death comes in this condition, that my cheek be placed on the foot of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To be towards the earth was their izzat. Abu Jahl was being killed in the battle of Badr. He said to the person, you can kill me, but make sure my nose is up. My izzat, my face must never touch the dust. There are those people in this world, their only thought is my dunya must remain, my name must remain, my izzat must remain, my family honor must remain. There will be many Abu Jahls whose nose must be high, even if he burns forever in Jahannam. And then there was Ziyad ibn Sakan. He said, what do I have arzu, desire of this world? My desire is this cheek of mine must be at the foot of my Nabi. A poet said it so beautifully. He said, Nikal jaye dam, tere qadamo ke niche. Nikal jaye dam, tere qadamo ke niche. For my soul to come out when I'm at the threshold of your feet. For my soul to come out when I am at the threshold of your feet. Yahi dil ki hasrat, yahi arzu hai. This is my only desire. Another poet said it even more amazing. He said, Teri mi'raj ke tu lawh qalam tak pahuncha. Your mi'raj was where you reached the place where the qalam, the pen of Almighty Allah was writing. He said, that was your mi'raj. Meri mi'raj ke tere qadam tak main pahunch gaya. He says, my mi'raj is I reached your feet, O Rasul of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our honor is towards Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other people's honor is towards the dunya. Our honor is towards the deen. Other people following in the footsteps of whatever they will say, stars, pop stars, any stars. Mine and your honor is our life must come at the foot of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qatada radiallahu anhu stands up in defense. Fighting, blows after blow. One sahabi, death came to him and his mi'raj took place. Another one, fighting, blows after blows, the arrow hits the eye. Most beloved thing of man, it is known as Habiba. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Almighty Allah announces, there are certain times when I take the beloved thing of man, his Habiba, his eye. And then I see what is my servant now saying. And if I find him patient in that condition, then I say, Jannah is yours. The eye is the most beloved. Qatada radiallahu anhu's eye is burst. Arrow into the eye, he puts his hands. He grabs whatever he can grab. And he just shows Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he smiles. He says, I am so honored that my eye has been sacrificed for you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes that eye. This was no fairy tale. This was recorded by the most truthful of truthful. He takes the eye. He looks towards the heavens. He makes a dua. And he places with his blessed hand in the very socket whatever is remaining of that eye. And after he removes his eye, Qatada says, I began seeing with the eye. He says, Wallah, there were so much blessings that the sight in this eye increased manifold. He says, later on in life, the other eye became weaker, but the eye which touched the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no weakness was ever going to come. Me and you in the coming days, there will be times where we will also have to be tested with this eye. Pornography is open in the market. Immodesty is open in the market. Now the individual says, how can I not look? That Sahabi was ready to take an arrow into his eye. And then also he said, I'm honored that the eye went, but my Nabi cannot go. Me and you have to be able to sometimes say no to the desire of this eye. Sometimes the eye doesn't want to close. I'll have to close it. You will have to close it. If we have to carry on looking at what the whole world is looking at the moment, at every body part, at every picture, no matter how obscene, no matter how filthy, no matter how dirty, asking for pictures, sending pictures, desiring pictures, to see the picture, to see the living thing, where the people's minds and hearts today have become nothing but filth and dirt. They only want to see nakedness in any form. There will have to be some Qatadas who say that my eye will sacrifice for the deen of my Nabi. Even if the eye has to burst in pain, that person who will sacrifice his sight for the pleasure of Almighty Allah, how that Sahabi was blessed after that with such strong sight. Wallah, if I and you can look after this nazar, can look after this eye, there is something called basarat, the ability to see. There is something called basirat, the ability to understand. The one who will sacrifice his basarat, when everything says, see me, and that individual says, I don't want to. There are those friends in recent times when the internet has gone out of control, understanding that my power over the smartphone is not there. Finally, they decided, rather let me see less of this dunya. And they traded in that smartphone for a simple phone. We might say impossible, but there are those who have done it. Allah grant me a new power, that if we find we cannot control ourselves with smart stuff, then let's go back to old stuff. If I don't know what's happening in the world, who will sacrifice his ability to see basarat, Allah will bless him with basirat, the ability to understand. That Sahabi did it on Uhud. Again, at the end of times, there will be individuals who will never let the eye fall on dirt. When a pretty girl comes in front, they look down. When a filthy picture comes in front, they look down. There were those in the past who did it. Allah make all of us amongst those. Tonight is a night to say, Allah, my eye, my ear, my entire body, my living, my dying, my ibadat, my sacrifice, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi, everything of mine, Allah, I'm presenting it to you. Will you accept it? Ansar were ready to sacrifice. Allah sent his Nabi to live amongst them. Me and you, if I show I'm ready to make a sacrifice, Islam will come within me and you. The people have to make an effort to make this flag stand up again, and there will definitely be someone. Allah allowed an honor to come to me and you. There was a Ziyad ibn Sakan whose only desire was to die at the feet of Risala. There was a Qatada whose eye went out for Risala and he was given a better eye. There was a Sahabi in that battle by the name of Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picks up his sword and he says, "May ya'khudhu hadha sayf minni bihaqqi." Who is ready to take the sword from me? But you will have to fulfill the demands of the sword. Allah puts it in his heart. He says, "I am ready, O Nabi of Allah." That same risala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened it up to his ummah. When he was passing away, he mentioned, "After me, no Nabi will come. No Nabi." In recent times, when the Qadiani movement was on its power, and the British were funding this movement, so on behalf of the Qadianis, a British woman came to the Markaz. It was the era of Murana Yusuf Rahimullah, trying to prove that this Qadiani movement is a correct movement. So she says to Murana Yusuf Rahimullah, that you always say that your Nabi was Rahma lil Alameen, mercy for the entire world. So she says, what kind of mercy is this that he came to close the door of Nubuwwah? If he closed the door of Nubuwwah, meaning let Mirza Ghulam be a Nabi. Because if you saying your Nabi 1400 years ago closed the door of Nubuwwah, what kind of mercy is that? Ma Yusuf Rahimullah, what an answer he gave her. He said, on the demise of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what a mercy he was for mankind, that he opened up the doors of the work of Nubuwwah. He opened up the doors of the work of Nubuwwah. Now the work was not going to be restricted. Are you a Nabi? It was going to be opened up to his ummah. Who wants to take the sword from me? In his blessings there was going to be a Salahuddin Ayyubi. There was going to be a Muhammad al-Fatih. There was going to be an Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali. There was going to be Sahaba and Tabi'in, Tabi Tabi'in. Every one of them was going to do the work which a Nabi of previous times. He said, what more mercy do you want than that? As this work opened up, he offered the sword to me and to you. He said, who will be ready to take the sword? But you will have to fulfill the demands of the sword. Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu asked, what's the demand? The demand was, you will have to use the sword where it has to be used. You will use it on people who are deserving for the sword. You cannot kill a Muslim with it. You cannot put it in the wrong place. Abu Dujana took the sword. Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, we never saw him at the back. He was only in the front. He was only hitting. He was only hitting. He could not stop. But in the thick of that battle, a woman came in front of him. Her name was Hinda. She was going to be the woman who was going to try to chew the flesh of Hamza radiallahu anhu after this battle. Wife of Abu Sufyan. Later on she was going to read Kalima and become radiallahu anha. But at that moment, this woman comes in front. And Abu Dujana in his heat, as he's just hitting and hitting, understanding this is the wife of the leader of the mushrikeen at the moment, he lifts up the sword and the thought comes to him that the sword of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and a woman. He says, I cannot do this to the sword. He said, someone come and save this woman. Look at his sentence. He said, someone come and save this woman, because he wanted some of them to run then he could fight against them. But no one is coming. He said, someone save this woman. And no one is coming. And then he just looked at her and he said, and he walked away. But he could not use that sword on her. When I read this, what came in my heart, and it's a plea to the people who have been blessed with the sword of Islam. It is a plea to the Huffaz. Ramadan comes, your honor is in the world. When your jalsa takes place, everyone looks at you. And he said, you are hafiz al-Quran. You have become a protector of Quran. When the alim's jalsa takes place and the turban is put around his head, said, Mubarak to you. Abu Dujana took the sword. Then he put a turban around his head. For him, this is a turban. I have been given a responsibility. He wanted to hit the sword wherever he could hit it. A woman came in front. He said, this is not the place. Similarly, O people who are the protectors of the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you a hafiz of Quran, you an alim of the deen, do not use this knowledge that has been put by me and you. Allah save all of us. We cannot use it where it's not supposed to go. We cannot use it to acquire dunya. That's far worse than that. We cannot use it to fulfill our passion and our lust. A hafiz of Quran, do not ever read Quran. Take a tape of your reading and then send it to a girl and say, this reading is for you. Do not use your Quran to fulfill desire. Be an Abu Dujana, an alim of deen, a mufti. Do not use your knowledge to thrill young girls. Do not use your knowledge to get girls to continue communicating. And then you say to the girl that, why don't you send me a picture of you? And then you say to the girl, your husband is not the best of men. Why don't you separate only with the intention, then I will take you. I must be Abu Dujana. You must be Abu Dujana. Even if a woman comes in front and the sword of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not supposed to go, how he controlled himself. That was a kafira woman at that moment. She was deserving of the sword. Do not use this sword which has been placed in our hands for filthy purposes. And every one of us is a da'i of this deen. We got one mission on earth. Let's spread this Islam. Let it go far and wide. Let us be that Abu Dujana who said, who will take it from me and fulfill its haqq? Because of this Islam, when I'm going to go back to my business tomorrow, let me not be a businessman. Let me be a da'i towards the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I have to lose a little few rands, if someone comes in my shop, they're going through difficult conditions, I want to take the last rand out of them. Times are not easy. Load shedding is knocking a lot of people. As it's knocking me, it's knocking the individual in front. But that person is only searching for food. And I am a caller to the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I go hungry tonight, and that person gets a little food, but that person together with food got a smile from a Muslim and got a dawah towards eternal salvation, that is more important for me than me sleeping with a full belly at night. I must become a da'i. You must become a da'i. Tonight is the night to say, Allah, we have seen great nights that have come and gone. Great nights make great people. Great nights make great people. If I tonight can say, Allah, I am ready to die at the feet of your Nabi. I am ready to sacrifice my eye, not to look at that which makes you angry. I am ready to use the sword of Islam where it's supposed to be used. Allah, let me be like an Ansari. By Allah, it is an open selection tonight. That child who wants to be selected, the mother who wants her child to be selected, the father who wants his son to be selected, the individual who wants himself, tonight is the night to say, I am ready. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam met the Ansar at Aqaba. It was one promise that they made, and everything was going to happen after that. Tonight is our Aqaba. We are having a meeting with Almighty Allah. Definitely, as this world is now going, where they speak of Vision 2030, and they speak about the era of the robot, and they speak about artificial intelligence, and a time where An individual asked the other day, what is this artificial intelligence? What is this vision 2030? What is, now I don't even know the names of chats and whatever they're chatting. So it was one sentence that I said, that the jinn have always hated man, but they were never given the ability to control man. The entire mission on earth is, if man can be pushed out of earth, like how they were once upon a time pushed away, if man can be told, you stay in your houses, you stay in your closed areas, and let us rule. But they don't have that ability. And they don't have the ability to control man. And they don't have the ability to harm man. Unless they do it through something else. For years they did it through man. They harmed man through man. But now the time has come where they want to harm man through something which is not man. The only thing they could find is what we call today a robot. We will be thrilled at the beginning when you see the robot. But in the eye of the robot, you must see the power or the anger or the filth of the jinn. It is a threat to humanity at large. And more than humanity, it is the biggest threat that is now facing Islam. Its target will always be first, not mankind, but Islam, and then the rest of humanity. At such a time where Uhud is, where we are seeing it standing, there is a Rasul of Allah, there is the Risala of the Rasul of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, who is ready to sacrifice for me? That individual today who says, what about me? Who knows what our future is going to be? Ziyad ibn Sakan, Qatada al-Ansari, Abu Dujana, they were a few of those unique. There was Sahaba radiallahu anh, at the end of the battle of Uhud, 70 Sahaba radiallahu anhum were going to be laid. Among them was one, Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anh. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at his janaza, looked at his burial. They tried to cover the heads. Then they found that the cloth was too short. They tried to cover the feet. They found the cloth was too short. They finally decided, we will cover the head and just throw some leaves over the feet. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thinks about that there was an era where this boy, when he was not in Islam, his mother pampered him so much in Makkah Mukarramah that she would not allow him to wear the same cloth twice. And today this boy got no clothes. His perfumes were being smelt by everyone. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, later on when Islam boomed with power and so much came into Islam, and they mentioned that we saw the burial of Mus'ab ibn Umayr. They say there was amongst us those who sacrificed at the beginning and later on were able to clip and to cut the fruits and enjoy it in this world. He said, and there were those like Mus'ab ibn Umayr. They sacrificed everything, and Allah was not going to let them in this dunya see anything. He says, wow, for them it was an honor. They sacrificed everything, and in this world Allah was not going to let them see anything. There were those also. May Allah tawarakala make me and you from amongst what people they were in that time and how it happened. Their worry was not how they would live, how would die. Their poem was at that time, their sentence was that that death wo maut jo radae habib ki khatir aaye, that death which comes in searching of the happiness of my beloved, wo maut nahi wo hasile zindagi. He said, this is not death, this is what I'm searching for in life. Wo maut jo aaye radae habib ki khatir, that death which comes searching for the pleasure of my beloved, wo maut nahi hai wo zindagi ka hasil. He said, how can you say I died, this is what I wanted my whole life? May Allah Tabarukala grant this to me and you. Tonight is a night to ask for the protection of our dunya. This country is in a condition of fear. The whole world is in a condition of fear. But more than all of those fears, the attack in a very, very open way is being launched against Islam, even in the markaz of Islam. At such a time, there will be those individuals who say that Allah, will you allow how you accepted the first jamaat and what work they did? There has to be a last jamaat also. من المؤمنين رجال, Allah تبارك الله says, how many believers they are, how many, Allah make me and you from those, how many believers they are, من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهد الله عليه, how many believers they are who will be able to fulfill the promise that they had made with Almighty Allah. فمنهم من قضى نحبا, among them there are those who have already done it. They did what they had to do and they gone. وَمِنُّهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ, and from amongst them there are those who are still waiting for the chance. Allah make all of us amongst those. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا, they have not broken the promise. They have not changed in any way. They are still firm on that, waiting to show Allah that I will die fulfilling the promise I have made for you. That this is a night of power. Powerful knights make powerful men. Great knights make great men. I wanted the lecture to be Maghrib to Isha. So after Isha, we can all go. You eat a little bit, then go home. Every night we sleep late on the phone. This is not a night for the phone. This is a night, even if load shedding comes, it cannot keep our contact away with the Arsh of Almighty Allah. On this night, ask for the best of dunya, and after that start asking for the best of deen. And ask Allah to make me and to make all of you from amongst those whose deaths will come as martyrs in his path. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever will ask Almighty Allah for martyrdom, bisidqin, with sincerity, بَلَّغَهُ اللَّهُ, Allah will ensure He will make him reach the heights of the martyrs. وَإِن مَاتَ عَلَىٰ فِرَاشِهِ, even if he has to die at home on his bed. This is a night to ask. May Allah Tabarakala make me a martyr in his path. May Allah Tabarakala make everyone who is listening a martyr in his path. May Allah Tabarakala make the maqsad of my life to die for his happiness. May Allah make the maqsad of your life to die for his happiness. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.